This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Patty White with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, March 29th, 2024. A bill supporting a $30 million trails bond in Maine has received unanimous support from the legislature's Appropriations Committee. That means it now heads to the full legislature for consideration. Susan Sharon reports.
More than 500 organizations, businesses, and towns have endorsed the bill. Supporters say the money would bolster the state's $3 billion outdoor recreation economy by providing grants to organizations and towns for motorized, non-motorized, and multi-use trail projects. The funds would be managed by the Bureau of Parks and Lands. The bill, which has support from Democrats and Republicans, requires a two-thirds vote in both the House and the Senate, along with the governor's approval to place it before Maine voters on the November ballot. Supporters say the money is needed more than ever after recent storms severely damaged trails across the state. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The town of Jackman is preparing for large crowds during the upcoming solar eclipse. The town of fewer than 1,000 people is in the path of totality. And as Nicole Grisco reports, public safety officials there have been planning for the event for nearly 3 years.
School is closed on April 8th in Jackman because the building will be used as one of two staging areas for emergency personnel who are expected to arrive from Farmington and other towns to provide assistance.
In fact, some folks will be coming the night before, staying over at the school. The school is also going to be a temporary medical clinic that day, which is going to be staffed with volunteers from St. Joseph Hospital in Bangor, two doctors, two nurses, and a PA.
Bill Jarvis is the chief of the Jackman Moose River Fire and Rescue Department. He says the region is preparing for heavy traffic on the day of the eclipse, both before and after the event, and logging companies have been urged to avoid Route 201 that day. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Grisco.
And as northern Maine braces for an influx of visitors for the total solar eclipse, many area schools are planning to close for the day or send students home early. In Aroostook County, School Administrative District 32 serves Ashland, Masardis, Garfield Plantation, and nearby unorganized townships. Superintendent and Principal Joel Hall says the district decided to release students early to make sure they'll be home before the eclipse.
I think you're going to find if you talk to most of the county schools, they're on the same plan if they are going to school at all on that particular day.
He says on top of hoping students get to witness the historic event, there were concerns about the many visitors in the area as well as heavy traffic. In an effort to help local libraries prepare children's activities around the April 8th solar eclipse, the Maine State Library has been distributing eclipse safety glasses. One library in Dexter believes some of the glasses it received are potentially faulty. Carol Bousquet has more.
The Abbott Memorial Library received two packages containing 50 pairs of eclipse glasses from the Maine State Library. Abbott Library Director Liz Broll says she had given out 15 pairs when a patron questioned if they were safe because she could see through them. Maine State Library officials say they have been distributing glasses from a supply of 4,500 obtained through an approved vendor and believe they are safe. Marika Visser is the Director of Library Development.
We're pretty confident that they are meeting standards, and the reason why is Chris, who is our STEM librarian, did a lot of due diligence background research digging into what you need to look for in eclipse glasses to make sure that you can view it safely.
But Visser says the library is advising anyone with eclipse glasses to check them personally to ensure that they're safe. The Planetary Society recommends testing them indoors by looking at a bright light. If you see anything more than a dim light through the lenses, they may not be adequate. The glasses must also bear the label ISO 12312-2 to be certified safe. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse. Democrats in the Maine legislature this week appeared to be nearing the finish line on a slate of gun safety proposals in response to the Lewiston mass shootings. But just as the committee overseeing those bills voted to send them to the full legislature, Democratic leaders released a new red flag bill, which would allow family members to petition a court to temporarily confiscate the guns of dangerous individuals. And the timing is raising a lot of questions. Joining me to discuss the status of gun legislation are Maine Public Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler and State House Correspondent Kevin Miller. Hello to you both.
Hey there.
Hey, Patty.
So, Steve, why is the timing of the red flag bill causing a stir?
Well, Patty, the primary reason is that this proposal was not included in the slate of gun safety priorities that Democrats unveiled in February. And it was a conspicuous absence because so much of the debate since the Lewiston shootings has centered on Maine's yellow flag law and whether it's too unwieldy to be as effective as the red flag laws that exist in at least 20 other states. Now, Kevin is going to get into the differences with these so-called extreme protection orders in a minute. But the fact is that a lot of people were fully expecting a red flag proposal this session. And we've been asking about it for weeks. So to see this drop literally at the same time that Democrats were advancing those other gun safety bills has given Republicans like Representative Rachel Henderson, who was already likely to oppose such a measure, even more reason to do so.
We are within the last 3 weeks of a two-year legislative cycle. There has been ample time to bring this piece of legislation forward. And although I can't directly speak to the motives of why it's so late, it really does kind of beg the question, why on earth is this coming to us at such a late hour?
Meanwhile, Patty, there's a lot of speculation about whether the bill has the votes to pass the Democratic-controlled legislature, to say nothing of getting by Governor Janet Mills, who opted to tweak Maine's existing yellow flag law rather than changing it to something resembling a red flag law. And Democratic Senate President Troy Jackson acknowledged that this bill may not have the votes to pass.
People want to vote against it. If the bill doesn't pass, if the governor, you know, ends up not supporting it, fine, but I still think that the discussion, especially in light of what happened in Lewiston with family members trying to have Mr. Card's gun taken away from him, I think is worthy discussion for all of us to have.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like there's a lot of confidence about this bill, so why do Democrats want to put it forward?
Well, look, I think it's no secret that gun safety activists want to see this bill. And I know there are Democrats who want to vote for this bill. The problem is that I'm not sure that even after Lewiston, that the politics and the power dynamic in the legislature are lined up to get this over the finish line. And one need only look at the interim report by the commission investigating the Lewiston tragedy to see why. The report acknowledges a common complaint about Maine's yellow flag law, which is that it's too cumbersome to confiscate a dangerous person's firearms. At the same time, though, the commission also said that the existing yellow flag law should have been used to get the gunman's weapons. So that split finding of sorts has yielded a completely predictable division of political rhetoric in the legislature. You know, Republicans came out immediately and said, see, we already have the laws we need to seize a dangerous person's guns. And gun safety activists framed it in a completely opposite way, saying the report underscores the necessity of a red flag law.
And Kevin, can you remind us how the proposed red flag law is different than Maine's current yellow flag law?
Well, there are two key differences, the first being who can begin the process of essentially trying to take away someone's guns. In a red flag state, family members or people who are part of that person's household, they can ask a court to order someone to temporarily give up their guns. And then those petitioners, and this actually also could include police in red states, they have to then convince the judge that this person poses a credible threat to themselves or others. But here in Maine, only police can start that process. So family members can't go directly to a court. They have to go to police first. Now, what supporters of the yellow flag law say this does is it helps avoid a gun owner having their firearms taken away needlessly because, say, an ex-spouse files a false report. Opponents of the yellow flag law say that doesn't really happen in other states, and if it does, that person can be prosecuted. But what critics of the yellow flag law also say is it actually discourages some families from starting the process because they fear that by going to the police, you know, they could get their loved one in some sort of legal trouble when really they're just in the middle of a mental health crisis and are suicidal. So that's the first big difference. The second is that Maine's yellow flag law also requires a medical professional to assess whether that person really is dangerous to themselves or to others.
And Maine's yellow flag law has come up a lot during the investigation into the Lewiston shooting. Specifically, why it wasn't used against the Lewiston shooter, right?
Yeah, absolutely it has. Deputies in the Sagadahoc County Sheriff's Office opted not to try to yellow flag the Lewiston shooter, despite the fact that family and friends have been raising concerns about his mental health and his access to guns. So the first step in yellow flagging someone is police have to take that person into what's known as protective custody. And the sheriff's deputies said they couldn't do that because they never had a face-to-face conversation with him. And they also didn't feel they had the legal grounds to kick down his door to take him by force because, according to their assessment, he hadn't committed any crimes yet. But a lot of people, including the authors of the yellow flag bill and, as Steve mentioned, the special commission investigating the shooting, say they really believe police had more than enough legal and moral grounds to take Robert Card into custody and to yellow flag him.
And Kevin, given that red flag laws have been adopted in many other states, why do Maine lawmakers appear reticent to do so?
So the yellow flag law was really the result of some hard negotiated compromises back in 2019. There was actually a red flag bill that was introduced in the legislature at that time, but it was really clear that this did not have the votes to pass. So Governor Janet Mills brought together Dave Trahan with the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine and police groups and gun control advocates and then some health groups to try to hammer out this compromise, and it passed with strong bipartisan support. But it wasn't until the Lewiston shooting that utilization of the law really jumped. So in the 2 years before Lewiston, the law was used 81 times. But since October 25th, police have used it more than 130 times. You know, as to your question as to the reticence that we've seen among a lot of folks here at the State House, Senate President Troy Jackson, he told us that it was a difficult compromise and that sometimes that can produce a kind of a sense of pride of ownership by the people who negotiated it.
But I'm not criticizing the yellow flag. I think it has done a lot of good, and I'll continue to defend it. I just think we probably need something else in tandem with it.
So what happens next with this red flag bill?
Yeah, so the bill, it was referred to the Judiciary Committee. A public hearing has not been scheduled for the bill as of this morning on Friday, but that could happen as soon as next week. So, you know, whenever it does happen, we'll expect a pretty big turnout from both sides.
That was Maine Public State House correspondent Kevin Miller and our chief political correspondent Steve Missler. You can read their Political Pulse newsletter online at mainepublic.org/pulse. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 Monday morning, Maine CDC Director Dr. Pateri Vah on the latest public health news. I'm Patty White. Thanks for listening.